A very good morning as you begin your football weekend on 91.3 Sports FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show every week is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your hosts today are myself, Paris Fabriziani, joined by Craig Bradford and Jesse Goldsworthy. Always on the program, we look at AFL and Blues news and review the remaining AFL round. Special guest live interview today is Greg Williams. We cross live to the hyphen, David Rees-Jones, for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front. Provide information on WA Blues supporters events, the weekly whack, and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Craig, we couldn't do this without our loyal sponsors.
No, we certainly can't. We'd like to have a big thank you to WA Blues major sponsor, Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Framers and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, the Empire at 220 Great Eastern Highway, Lathalane, and a special thank you to Barbara O'Butchers for their season raffle participation.
Thank you, Craig. No worries. Welcome to Jesse.
Jesse,
having us again.
Good to have you in again, Jesse.
Yes,
I must admit, you're better looking and younger than Chris Brownie.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll take that.
Now, before we get into the formalities, I'll turn to Craig to do some shout-outs and celebrations.
We couldn't have Kate today, so we got Craig's plate. Okay, my first one is pretty deep in my heart. Unfortunately, I can't get back to Victoria. I'm very biased. I must admit, I've probably got the best mother a guy could ask for. She puts everyone first before her. I'd just like to wish my mum a very happy 86th birthday for tomorrow. I miss you, Mum. I love you, and I know you're going to get spoiled by the grandkids, so all the best there. Secondly, to our co-host, Mr. Chris Brownie. Him and his beautiful wife, Mint, are down in lovely Margaret River this weekend to celebrate their fourth wedding anniversary. Personally, I don't know how Mint's done 4 years, but... I'm sure this weekend she's going to have a very Gucci weekend, so I hope she enjoys the present, and all the best for the weekend, guys. And lastly, to our other co-host, Paris, who turned the bright age of 22. Paris, on Wednesday, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Paris.
Mate, you don't look a day older. So that's all that done. So enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. That was a great Craig's plate.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, was it?
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
And now to Jesse for AFL News.
Well, it's a bit of a weird one this weekend with the AFL News. There's a bit going on, but there hasn't been heaps of news. But we have a mad race for the finals finish, which is quite exciting for the competition, especially with this year, with what's been going on with COVID, etc. And we've got heaps of teams. Pies, Saints, GWS, the Doggies, Ds and the Dons. And, of course, our beloved Blues can still make it into the eight and make finals.
We'll make it.
Which three do you reckon will make it?
Carlton.
I reckon it will be the Pies, GWS and Western Bulldogs.
Yes.
Carlton will make it, mate, and I don't care who
I missed the Saints. Pies, Saints and Western Bulldogs.
Yeah. Blues. Blues for me.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Saints probably sneak in.
Hey, at least it's not Essendon.
Maybe the Doggies and of course our Blues. Yeah, can't see Essendon going in.
No.
But we've had obviously a few retirement announcements as well this weekend with our tractor, Matthew Cruiser. What a man, what a guy he has been for our club.
True warrior.
True warrior. He's you've seen that. I don't know if you've seen the picture of him after the change rooms and he's all battered up. He just epitomises what we are at our club. Bryce Gibbs, I'll give him a little shout out. Personally, he was my hero growing up. He's the reason I sit here with this ridiculous man bun on the back of my head and all that. What a servant he was again for our club, a best and fairest winner back in 2014. It's a bit of a shame to see him not get the opportunities at Adelaide. It is what it is. He's pulled the pin on it, but we wish him all the best in the next part of his life. And the other big announcement, Stephen Coniglio from the GWS Giants being left out, the first captain to be left out of a side, I think, since John Worsfold, I can't remember
which
what
I find
year,
weird,
and Gary Ayres.
Because you think that Tex Walker would have been dropped 100 times this year.
Very
expensive.
He's
not the captain, though.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Very expensive person to sit on the outer.
Yes, very expensive after he turned his back on our Blue Boys last year in the trade period.
Who came in for him? Or have they not announced it yet?
I'm not too sure if they've announced it.
I don't think they've announced
their
final teams
yet. They've admitted it. Apparently, it was on him as well, from what I've read. He was the one that said, you know what, no, I'm not up to scratch. So I think that's for GWS. I know we're talking about Carlton here, but that's good for them as a club, you know.
Oh, they've got some big ins, just having a look at it now. They've got Brent Daniels, Tom Green, Connor Iden, Josh Kelly, Shane Mumford, Harry Perryman, Zach Williams, and Jack Buckley debuting.
So that's
some fair ins.
That's some fair ins for sure.
Although they've taken out Jake Riccardi, who I thought had been
rested.
How can you manage someone after three games, though? He's a gun.
Don't know.
I guess we did it with De Conning.
Yeah, well, we're idiots. But,
I think that was a good idea to rest De Conning against Mumford the other week. We've seen what he was able to do on Tuesday night against Sinclair. And
but it could have been the what ifs if we did have him in. Yeah. What if we won? And what if, you know, we were closer than to the eight?
Mm. But I don't think we were on the injury front. Jack Martin might be out this week. Might touch and go from what I've heard with David Teague. He's done a bit of a little calf. Have we got any other players coming back in this week?
Well, that actually links quite well with then the Blues injuries updates and news from Craig.
Yes, okay. Well, we'll start with probably the obvious ones. Charlie Curnow is with his knees for the season. Nick Newman with his knee for the season. Brody Kemp with his knee for the season. Ben Silvani's shoulder season. Liam Stocker, personal, which is still indefinite. Matty Cruiser, 2 to 3 weeks, but now retired, so you can put a line through that one. Jack Silvani, still 2 to 3 weeks away, which is virtually the season as well. Mick Gibbons, soreness for a week. I was reading during the week on one of the Blues News injury updates that they'd put a line through Jack Martin for the year.
He's got a TBC.
I'm pretty sure that we won't see him again, which is a bit of a shame.
Did he play on Tuesday night?
He did. Yeah. He'd done it, yeah. I think he'd done it third quarter, yeah. So just with some Blues news, as Jesse mentioned earlier, a couple of Carlton legends decided to hang their boots up with Matty Cruiser and Bryce Gibbs. Both retired. Both were our number one draft picks. The pair called time on their career. Cruiser due to injuries. Gibbs, whilst wanted to keep going, was with the way the Crows list was going, was more or less pushed out the door, which I still think it's a bit of a ploy to go back to the Blues.
No, but with a year left on his contract, there's a...
I'd still take him back. Mm. You hearing that, Chris Brownie? Doc has raised the Blues youth after the come. I'm sorry, praised the Blues youth after the comeback win on Tuesday night. Especially huge praises for Tom DeConig, Sam Walsh, and Sam Petreski's season. Sam Petreski Seaton, I should say. Played a bit of time through the midfield, which I think he looks so much better when he goes through that midfield. He's just got so much time, class.
He's clean in the pickup.
He was clean, yeah. So hopefully we see him swing through a bit more in the midfield in the next two games. And, of course, our match-winning Matt Cottrell. That was an awesome mark, but I just love...
He's a freak. The Greek freak.
I just... His celebrations was just...
Oh, how good.
Just awesome, yeah. Carlton finished fifth on the AFL membership ladder for 2020 with 67,035 members. It's a 4.3 increase from 64,000 last year, which I think as we get better, you'll find that the membership will grow as well. The teams ahead of them were West Coast, Richmond, Collingwood and Hawthorn. And that's basically about it for the Blues news.
It was funny seeing that tally because it said how much teams had increased or decreased since last year.
Yeah.
And I think Essendon had something like an 11% decrease because they had 80,000 last year. Don't quote me on it, but this year had less than us.
Yeah. So, but yeah, who cares about Essendon?
True.
I don't.
Nah, I don't at all.
So.
Okay, now the pinnacle of the week, Tuesday night. Let's go through the Blues and Swans review with Jesse.
Yeah, well, what a shocking first quarter that was, really. There's nothing else you can really say. 7-0 by the, halfway through the second, I think it was, when they dribbled that one off the ground. But, like Teague said, we were getting inside 50s. We just couldn't kick a goal. Levi, unfortunately, missed that one after the siren in the first quarter. But we had we just seemed to have the run. I think the whole time I was sitting there watching it, I was going, you know what? But even though we're so far behind it, I just felt like something was going to happen. We're never going to get blown away.
No. Look, again, we talk about it every week. We've talked about it with Reece. It's just that last kick inside 50.
It is, yeah.
Whether there's not that chemistry there with the midfield to the forward line, I'm not sure. But they sort of rectified it sort of halfway through that second quarter when they kicked that three or four goals. Yeah, so... But look, the signs are there.
Yeah, the signs are, and like, I know he hasn't had the greatest run, and I hope we can just keep backing him. But like, Mitch McGovern, people say, oh, like, how does he straighten up the side? And I can kind of see when he's out of the side, you got Harry Mackay having a snap from the boundary, taking marks on the boundary. He kicks his two goals, although he's snapping them, he's more directly in front of goal. And I think having someone like him down there, it just he's leading, taking marks on the 45, and I'd rather see someone having a shot on those 45s than out on the boundary line.
Do you know who was good on Tuesday night that a lot of people who have been negative towards in the past?
Ploughman?
Yeah.
Oh, he packed up his bags and took them back to Icon.
I can't understand why so many people get into Ploughman. You look at the players that he's played on, what their disposals are, what their goals are. Like, he had Papley. Papley hardly touched a footy.
Yeah, but that's this year, Craig. In previous years, he's been a little bit of a passenger.
No, I thought he had a good year last year too.
Yeah, last year everyone couldn't believe that he came third in the best and fairest.
Yeah, I thought last year he was coming out.
He's kind of just he does little things, but no one ever goes like, "Whoa, he's amazing."
I think people are just starting to recognise that now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I think it's because that back line of Liam Jones and Doherty and stuff, it's all gelling, so you can actually see they're all making an impact.
And that back line's been under siege for the last 5 years. They've had to deal with it.
Well, what's going to happen now is, you know, when Marchbank comes back and things like
It's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have. Mm. Again, look, injuries are going to happen, so you don't know who's going to go down. So, yeah. But just with your thing on McGovern before, it does help out Harry and Casbolt, because the third tall then can't go and be that spare against McKay and Casbolt. He's got to stick with McGovern, whereas before they had a smaller forward.
Yep.
So that third guy would go out and help against McKay and Casbolt. So I noticed that a little bit on Tuesday night because, as you said, McGovern led them away. It takes that tall away, so they can't get that spare against Casbolt and Harry. So.
I just want to see who they then take out when Charlie Kerner is fit next year.
Yeah. Well, David King was saying possibly... I love Levi, but David King was saying maybe someone like a Brisbane could be interested in picking up Levi for 1 or 2 years.
No.
I would hate to see him leave, but if it's possible, he might pick up a flag with Brisbane or a couple of finals wins or whatever. If it was for his own benefit, he's served our club well enough. I'd be happy to let him go do his own thing.
No, he'll stay.
He'll stay. I want him to stay.
What you got to remember is how athletic Charlie is. Charlie's not going to be a key centre-half forward or a full forward. Charlie's going to be that guy that you could play him in a half-forward flank. Run him up the ground, run him back, because he's got a huge tank.
Oh, he does.
So I personally can't see an issue playing the four of them together.
No. I'm just excited for this afternoon. Obviously, we haven't had any ins and outs because they're being annoying and releasing the teams the day before.
Four.
But I'd love to see who they're going to put in tomorrow because, you know, is Betts going to come back? Are they going to do, you know, little things
Betts
like that?
I think Betts will come in for Martin.
But as well, we've got, you know, Adelaide, Daniel Talia's not playing and Mackay, who was in their team's not playing kind of thing. So
he got rubbed out, didn't he? McCoy?
Yeah, he got suspended. So there's a couple of, you know, Tom Lynch is back though. Is it Tom Lynch?
Yep.
Or Lynch or whatever.
Yeah.
He's back. You know, they've got a couple of big ins, but they've also got a couple of big outs. But I don't want that to think like, okay, cool, yeah, we're going in and we're going to win. Because, no, I've been telling the boys on the panel all year,
I
don't want to be a negative person, but all year I've been saying Adelaide Crows will beat Carlton, and I've just got this terrible feeling.
They won't.
I think, looking at young O's last week, he looks okay.
Yeah, he had some pressure on him, didn't he?
He did look a little bit lost, and I just think maybe...
Who do you prefer, him or Cameron Paulson?
I think they should play Eddie Betts, which I think that'll happen.
Yep,
like, he looks... He's going to be a player, you can see that, but
size
he just looks he just looked a little bit
I just
lost.
Don't think they're going to take someone out after one game because then there's that whole thing of you can't take someone out after one game, give him a chance.
There's been a trend with Teague where he's been given people like Cottrell and Paulson and Dow that when they have come into the side to Conning as well, they've played
like
two up.
I'd like to see Dow come back in this week.
Yeah. Mate, I would just quickly say with the Sydney game, a vintage display by Cade Simpson. I love the way he played on the week on Tuesday. It was reminding me what it was like a couple of years ago when he was flying. I love seeing that guy do well. I hope he stays on for another year.
He's not bad for a 37-year-old.
Yeah, he's not bad at all.
And how good were the footy gods when Louis Taylor went to have that shot and missed it? That was not a free kick.
No.
Jason Dunstall was up in arms about that not being a free kick.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't. He dropped his knees and laid
back.
You kind of feel bad for the kid because, you missed that and it's like you've lost a game for the club. Not that, in the context, obviously I'm happy he missed it, but in general, they're people too, and people would have gotten stuck into him on social media
just
and stuff.
Just one point on that.
Footy gods.
When you run out to the right, you're going to kick the ball to the right. If you run straight and kick the ball straight, you're going to more than likely kick it through the goals.
Jeez, you're starting to sound like Jason Dunstall, mate.
Well, I play in the forward line.
Yes, so I played in the forward line as well, I must admit. You do kick where you're... If you're running towards the point post, you'll kick it at the point post.
I'm more of a play on the sidelines kind of person and just sit on my deck chair and eat chips and gravy while watching the football. But if I did play, I'd probably,
you'd
score
be a
bag and it'd probably be just unfair on everybody else.
No, it was sad. Look, at the end of the day, I thought we're gone. But it's to their credit, all year, they've never gave a game up. So... And it's going to be good for those kids going forward next year.
They gave up on the Collingwood game and the St Kilda game.
Not gave up.
They 100% gave up on the St Kilda game.
No, I don't think they did. They fought it out to the end.
Not that one. Anyways, it's time to go to a much well-earned break with a few words from our sponsors. And when we return, we cross live to Greg Williams.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the Baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sports FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues and presented today by Paris, Craig and Jesse. Today on the show, we've got Greg Williams. Welcome, Greg.
We've got a malfunction.
Some technical issues.
Hello, Greg, are you there?
Yeah, I am now.
Oh, sorry. It's my Paris. First time doing it. I had no idea what I was doing.
Paris has got the L plates on, Greg, and she wasn't real good at that one.
Well, hello.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, all good, thanks.
Mate, how are you coping with these lovely COVID restrictions at the moment now that the Victorians have got an extra 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's not good. It's still in lockdown here, but look, the numbers are 37 today, so things are going the right direction. Yeah, so it's the lowest it's been for a long time. So hopefully a couple more weeks and we'll be starting to get back to normal.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm originally from Victoria, from down in Warrnambool, so I've got family and everything back home, and I just, you know, I've missed two grandkids' birthdays. So the sooner this virus cleans up, the actual better it'll be, so I'll be able to go back and say hi at least.
No, exactly. No, everyone's looking forward to getting back to some sort of normality, no doubt.
Morning, Diesel. It's Jesse Goldsworthy here. I've just got a quickie for you. For some of the younger members like myself, who obviously didn't get to see you play, how did the name Diesel come about? Who gave it to you, and whereabouts did the origins come for that?
I actually started playing footy in Geelong in 1984, a long time ago, but Tom Hafey was coach, and I got my first game at Geelong, and Mick Turner was captain there, and he actually had a gridiron motivational tape back then. And there's a guy in America for Washington Redskins, his name was John Riggins. He was a big, powerful running back, and his name was Diesel, so they actually named me after him for some reason, and it just stuck. And that's been my nickname for a long time.
Awesome. And I was talking to a couple of supporters the other day, and they were talking about mindset and the way that our Carlton side's playing at the moment with mindset. And my dad briefly mentioned to me about how you, in the 95 grand final, were taken out of the midfield and put in to the forward line, and you ended up bagging five on grand final day. I wanted to ask you about your mindset going into that, you know, being such a dominant midfielder, being changed, put into the forward line. Was it something that you just thought, all right, I'm going to dominate in this position, or is it something else that you used to perform on such a high game in grand final day?
Yeah, it was. You're right. I played midfield my whole career, and then Parkin said to me, "Oh, look, I want you to play on the forward line." On Saturday, I said, "No, I'm not playing there." Yeah. And he said, "Yes, you are." So I ended up obviously doing it, and it did take me a few days to get my head around it. But once I committed to it. Like I said, it was very different because I haven't played forward my whole career.
Yep.
But, I went forward that day. I actually started in the centre bounce, the first bounce, then went forward and stayed down there. And, things went well. It was good down there with Kernahan, and we both kicked five goals there. And obviously, we beat Geelong by 10 goals, and the team played terrific. And, it was a huge day for everyone. It was a 95, and I was lucky. I won the Norman Smith as well. It was my birthday that day, and everything worked out. Couldn't have been better. So
beautiful.
Yeah, no, it was great fun.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned David Parkin, because you've previously had two cracks at trying to play at Carlton, and twice he was the coach, and eventually you finally got there. How was your relationship with David, considering that, you know, as I said, twice he more or less said he didn't want you? Which,
yeah, that's right. No, he did. He gave me the arse a couple of times when I was about 17, 18. Yeah, he did, because I was in Calm Zone back then. But you know, I went to Geelong. I wrote to Tom Afey to go and do a pre-season down there, so Tom invited me down there at Geelong. So, yeah, and Parko's fine. I got on well with him.
Yeah.
He welcomed me back and apologised for letting me go. And, yeah, just, it was good to get back there, though. Like, it was great. It really was. I played 6 years at Carlton, 6 years at the Swans, and a couple of years at Geelong. So
just
it all worked out fine.
Just with getting, you know, what actually started the procedure of, because you were at the Swans, did Carlton approach you to come back? I think it was it 93 to come back? Or that's was right. It a contract 94. Issue with Sydney? Or?
Oh, no, it was more like things went really well at Sydney. Actually, my first year I won the Brownlow in 86, and then Swans were going well the Edelston time, and Hafey went up there and I went with him with a few stars, hit Jared Healy, and my cap was there. And no, we had a pretty good side, and we finished on top a couple of years in a row.
Yep.
We didn't win a final, unfortunately, but actually, the Swans was really a great place to be. Like, crowds and... it was a very exciting time for the Swans. But then, a couple of years after that, it started to go a bit haywire. And, my sixth year there, we were last for a couple of years at the end. And the AFL, or the VFL, then weren't doing much at all to try and help the Swans, or they just seemed to left us up there. And I just said, I had actually a meeting with one of the main guys at the AFL and said that what he's doing, and they weren't doing anything. And I said, well, I'm leaving. So I ended up deciding to leave in 93. And my manager, Peter Jess, spoke to Carlton and a couple other clubs, and it ended up, it was great that Carlton got the deal done. And I ended up back there in 92, it was, sorry.
92.
Yeah, 92. I went back to Carlton, so that was great.
Now, you've won a lot of medals and been in a lot of accolades, like the AFL Team of the Century and whatnot. What's been the most proud for you?
Oh, you're right. I have won most things. I said to Parko as well about moving me forward. Well, the only medal I hadn't won was the Coleman medal, and I said to him, if you had to move me there forward earlier, I'd won
as well. You could have won it. So it's Parkin's fault.
Yeah, well, wasn't that hard down there? I keep telling Dix. No, it's not that hard. But, oh, look, it's difficult. It was really hard for me to get my first game, and I think Tom Afey gave me a chance for Geelong in 1984. My first game, I had 38 possessions in my first game.
Jeez.
Which was record, and, I got 3 Brownlow votes my first game. Like, I was ready, and obviously once that happened, I just felt like I belonged, and I played in the centre ever since. And also, I think one of the greatest things ever happened to me was when I played for Victoria, and Ted Whitten told me at training on the Thursday night that I'd be captain for Victoria, and that was like state footy, and like to be captain of Victoria, that's like pretty much nearly the highest accolades you can get as far as a Victorian go, and that was a huge honour as well. I really felt like that was one of the happiest days of my life.
Just looking back at that that 95 team, I actually chose to go to 2 games that year. Unfortunately, it was the 2 games that we lost.
Oh, no.
But anyway.
It's your fault.
Blame me. Everyone else blamed me, so you may as well. But just looking on that side, like, there wasn't a real weakness from the back line to the forward line, and it just seemed like that side that everyone clicked. They knew the job they had to do, and it was... For me, I just thought, there's no way you're going to lose that grand final.
Yeah. No, look, you're right. But the story before that was, like, we played in 93 and lost the grand final to Essendon.
Yep. Devastating.
In 94, we finished on top, and then we went straight out in the finals. And 95 was like, you know, Carlton's too old and, you know...
Too slow.
Dean and Justin Madden and, you know, we're a pretty old side, Bradley. You know, we're in our 30s, you know, sort of thing. And it was like it was all over. But for some reason, yeah, it just clicked that year. As you know, we won 16 games in a row.
Yeah, never been done before.
And it was just, we just... Like, we were winning... Like, we were 10 goals up at half-time in the grand final. Like, we were just a powerful unit.
And, yeah.
You know, Kudafidi, Silvani. You know, Justin's, you know, one of the great ruckmen. You know, Kernahan. Piercy was good.
Yep.
You know, you got Ratton and Brown and, you know, Bradley and McKay. You know, like, you name all of them.
Yeah.
You
know, there wasn't a...
Spalding, of course, the West Australian.
Yeah, the big Duke.
You know, like... It was just Sexton. You know, we just had a great side. Ange Chris too. I remember more really, but it was just just a really good side.
What's it like? Obviously, you lived through that and saw that, and then seeing the Carlton team for the last 10 or so years. I'm only 21, so I kind of haven't really ever seen us be good. So seeing then, the big difference, and it's kind of like the polar opposite in recent years. What's that like for you to see that?
No, it's not good. It's been 25 years since 95, which is our last play. Like, the Carlton, that's just like a lifetime.
It is.
It really would be the last thing anyone thought would happen at Carlton that stage. But it just has, and we haven't been good at the draft, and we haven't been good at, presidents or coaches we got, it hasn't worked out. Plus, you've got the Eagles and Adelaide, obviously. Swans even... end up winning a couple of flags, and there's just 18 teams now that are so competitive, so powerful, most a lot of the teams, and it's just so hard to win one now. It was hard back then, but there was pretty much three or four sides a year that probably could win it. There's 12 teams, and it was a fair bit different. But, now, like in a competitive competition that AFL have got, it's just so difficult to win a premiership, but as Carlton have found out.
Yeah, look, I think the best thing they did was, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, because they haven't done well in the draft. They never have, and I think it was Soss that bit the bullet and said, right, we've got to go backwards to go forwards. I think they did the right thing. I think we've got some pretty good kids coming through there, and I know... You sort of were involved with helping out Cripper and Paddy Dow. Did you see, like, there's some huge growth there? Have just with coaching these guys, did you actually see the improvement of these younger kids slowly starting to improve and get fitter and stronger?
Yeah, I have. I did personally with Carlton this year. I was coached there 4 days a week until I actually, the COVID hit. Left and they went to Queensland. So I've worked there. I know them pretty well. I know them very well. I work with them all. And there is a lot of growth, and there is a lot of them are still young, apart from Simo and...
Yes, Simo. Graham.
Cruz is unfortunately have to retire because of injuries at the time. But there's a lot of young guys down there, only 20, Dad's only 20, 21, like... still very young, and like I say, another pre-season. They've done some good improvement this year. You know, they've lost probably 3 or 4 games that they probably started at half time instead of they've just played a bad quarter here and there. And that's all part of growth and maturity. And I just think they're going to be better again next year, and they need to be, but I think they will.
Yep.
And get Charlie Kerno back, he's going to be a huge difference. And yeah, I just think that hopefully they can recruit another couple of star players, which they've got room, the Valley Cup and things like that. So another couple of stars, and then you win those close games, and then you three games on this year, and then we're in the eight. It's a big, good step.
Yeah, just looking forward to next year. Hopefully, with all this COVID stuff is done and dusted, and teams can get back to proper coaching and have more staff. Do you see yourself going back there in a coaching role like you were before COVID hit?
Yeah, I'd like to. I really don't know what's going to happen. You know, the coaches can come back to this, but it's been cut and... Yeah, it's gone up in the hubs, of course, which is a lot different. But I'm not sure it's going to be that much abnormal next year. Hopefully, it gets back to some sort of normality. But I don't think it's ever going to get back to the same place, which is probably.
Greg, and going on from that, I was just going to ask you, what impressed you the most from what you saw from our senior coach and David Teague?
Oh, I really like Teague. He's very calm. He just doesn't seem to faze him at all, which is a good thing. Because, but also, he does get into them as well, which I was not very often, but when he does bell at them and scream at them, he does a good job. Keeps me up to
time.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always good to be able to play off some steam sometimes, but it's mainly just does most things really well. I think he's going to like it. He's going to have a better team next year, and I think he'll be better as well.
Yep.
Well, Greg, we have to wrap it up there, but on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thank you so much for the great memories that you had at Carlton. You're, you know, a club legend and someone that everyone remembers, and thank you for sharing some of your precious time with us today.
No, not a problem, and hopefully not too near future we'll be in the finals, and hopefully you get a chance to go to another premiership soon.
Mate,
all the best over there.
Thank you. I cannot wait for that to happen. Trust me.
Yeah, no,
and look, appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No, no problem. Thanks for the call.
No.
All the best, WA.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diesel.
Thank you. Go
Bye.
Blues.
Bye.
Go Blues.
Yes, very knowledgeable man, isn't he, Diesel?
Very.
So hopefully he can come back into that coaching role next year, because I think with the development of those young kids, his knowledge, and I think he's one of these people that doesn't take anything. Like, I wish I had have asked him about the comments about Paddy Dow, but we didn't have time. But
how funny him, me, like, oh, what was your, you know, proudest moment? Yeah. Him, oh, I won everything.
you want that sort of confidence, and you want to instill that in our players.
Yeah,
you want successful people at your club.
Yeah,
and I reckon he'd be great for those kids. So hopefully, COVID goes, he can come back and some sort of coaching capacity. I think he'd be good for the kids.
What a legend, though. I wish I was in that sort of generation to actually see him play and see that team like he did mention.
Oh, it would have been awesome. Oh, that's been a hard 21 years.
Trust me, 95.
I've seen the grand final a couple of times.
It was amazing. Like, as I said, I got to two games, and all the two games that they lost.
And that was against, what, South Melbourne and St Kilda?
St Kilda, yeah.
And was that when one of those teams hadn't won a game in, like, 2 years? Which one was that?
I can't know. I sat in the pouring rain out of Waverley and had I was gutted. But anyway.
All good. We've got to go to a well-deserved break again. And after the break, we'll be talking to our great mate David Rees-Jones. So thank you again to our special guest, Greg Williams. And keep listening to 91.3 Sports FM.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the Baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues!
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave. Print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's now time to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here at Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero and the man who personifies everything that Bleeding Blue means as we barrel shoulder first into the shirt front.
Jones plays. Oh, what a mark!
First time in my career I'd actually been given instructions to get out and whack someone.
He's been reported.
Bruce Jones just came in. And...
Oh, they're having a go now.
I'm glad I'm in Melbourne.
Hello, David, and welcome to Breakfast for the Blues.
Yeah, great to be here again, and only a couple of matches to go. It's season coming to a pretty quick end.
So, how are you coping? Still, I see there's the 2 week extension of the isolation.
Yeah, it never ends over here. The news just keeps getting worse and worse. Obviously the numbers are coming down, so that's the good
thing.
It's becoming a bit of a joke over here. But anyway. It is what it is, and we just have to live through it, I suppose.
At least the Blues won on Tuesday night for a little bit of, excitement and entertainment.
Well, we can't get a haircut over here, and mine's starting to go grey watching the Blues.
Just go to Coles and get some box dye.
Yeah. Oh, gee, giving away 7 goals at the start and looking disinterested, and credit to them, they turned it around and we're able to fight back and win a great game to put in. Wasn't it great to see young Cottrell take a great mark? A lot was spoken about his goal, but that was a terrific mark. He really aggressive at the ball and won the game for us. So fantastic to see.
I was just about to touch on that, David. What did you think of Cottrell's Greek freak celebration after, obviously, like you just pointed out, his mark and the kick as well to go back and just the composure to put it through? But how did you see his celebration?
Yeah, they're a bit different now, the kids. They celebrate a bit differently to what we did back in the day. But good on him. He was very excited, I suppose. And it was funny because not long before they were sitting there with my 15-year-old daughter, and she said, "How do you reckon Cottrell's going to go? Do you reckon he's going to make it?" And I said, "Oh, no, I think he's just, he'll probably play 30, 40 games and that'll be about it." And then he did that. So, must put the reverse mods on him, actually.
That's okay, though. I was messaging with my son back home in Warrnambool, and halfway through, or probably just almost towards in the first quarter, he texted me not very happy, and I just said, "Hang in there." And then it just the second quarter they come out. It was just before half time when they banged on two or three quick goals, and I thought, we're back in this.
Yeah. I think and you look at the games. I mean, even last night, Richmond seemed to dominate that game, but you're going into that last quarter and you're thinking, gee, they're only 3 or 4 goals up. A team as good as Geelong could really, and I think that's been the way the season's gone this year. Because of the very low scoring and the defensive attitude of the coaches, they've been in the games, which gives you a chance. So, we're definitely a chance at half time and getting a little bit of momentum in that second quarter because the Swans were just all over us in that first quarter. And, it looked like it could have been an ugly game, but it ended up a good one for us.
So what's your thoughts about tomorrow? I guess, 5 weeks ago, everyone kind of wanted to play the Crows and it was going to be an easy game, but now they're kind of in form. They've won 2 on the trot. Bryce Gibbs is coming back for his farewell game, so they've got a little bit to play. What do you think is going to happen? What's your prediction?
Yeah, look, we're on form, I suppose, over the course of the year, we should win it, and you think we should win it easily. But Adelaide have been able to get a few good players back over the last few weeks, and that's enabled them to have a couple of good wins, real good wins, actually, against Hawthorn and then GWS. So, you know, they're in good form, and they'd want to finish this season off on a bit of a high. So, you know, it's been a real battle for them this year, I suppose, with a new coach and a lot of injuries early in the season and not getting the wins, I suppose. That's and looking and playing very ordinary football at times. So they'll be keen to continue that momentum, but it'll be up to our guys to really stand up. And I think this game is just going to be played above the shoulders. It's going to be one of the games that the team that goes out and really has the best attitude and wants to win will win the game, because you know, there's not much, there's no finals for either of these teams looking forward, but you know, and that's where, you know, players can sort of pack it in a little bit and look, you know, look forward to next year sort of thing and put the cue in the rack. But you know, I, to be perfectly honest, about halfway through the second quarter I was thinking that was what happened to us on the other night against the Swans. So I thought that, you know, they'd basically given up the year and we're just going to play it out. But yeah, they fought back hard and showed a bit of grit. That's what I've liked about it this year anyway.
David, obviously the news this week, our heart and soul of our football club, the Tractor, Matthew Cruiser, has decided to hang up the boots. It's just a question for you. Have you had a chance to reflect quickly on his career? Did you ever cross paths with him in Melbourne? And is there anyone that you played with that didn't have the limelight but got the most out of themselves as a footballer?
Yeah, look, you know, I mean, right from the start, and I've met him quite a number of times, a terrific young bloke, and just loves his footy, and unfortunately just couldn't get out there enough. I mean, we've got a group called the Spirit of Carlton. We started that when he first started, and the first thing we did was have a golf event probably about 3 weeks before the season, and he was the number one draft pick and so forth, and we found out later that he actually had his back playing golf that day, so he had to miss the round one. And I just think bad luck's just followed him all the way through. And
yeah.
And I looked at his career the other day, and once he played 13 years for 189 games, and I thought, shit, I played 13 for 182. Mm. You know, I had a lot of injuries too, but I was trying to think of the comparison. Then I thought, oh, hang on a minute, I missed about 22 suspensions. I've got myself to blame for a few of them. Yeah. But no, look, and just a terrific young bloke, and one of the most loved players in that squad. And you wouldn't have anyone around that football club have a bad thing to say about it.
No, I've actually seen a few film of not clips and photos, and Tom DeConig's come out and said that even though Cruz has been injured, he's been such a big help for his improvement, and he said he's always there for me to have a chat, explains things, and goes over where, you know, a few things that Tom can improve, and I think Tuesday night we sort of seen a little bit of Cruiser in Tom DeConig.
Fourth quarter especially.
Yeah, when the ball hit the ground, you could just see that follow through like Cruiser used to. So hopefully he's had a bit of an influence on young TDK.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, I like the way that DeConig's going at the moment. I think he's going to be a real star ruckman.
Oh.
He's got a little bit of X factor about him, and but he just goes at it so hard. He really has a decent crack, and that's, you know, that's what you want your big blokes to be doing. I mean, I wish some of our tall forwards would take a leaf out of his head a bit, you know, with a young bloke coming in and really stamping his authority as a big bloke on the field, and that's what they've got to do. You know, big blokes are out there to stamp their authority and pave the way for the smaller players. And Matthew Cruz, I mean, he could have been anything, you know. I mean, I think that's a real sad thing about it, because when he was fit and going, he was unstoppable, and he was almost like a ruck rover after he went up to the ruck. Yeah. He was a ruck rover once he hit the deck, and he could kick goals, he could do the lot. So You know, it's just a shame that his career was curtailed by so many, you know,
injuries.
And, you know, they're just bad injuries too, and leg injuries to big fellas. You know, they're pounding down. There's a lot of weight going down. Yeah. It just makes it harder and harder. But you know, he can be proud of what he done. You know, in his
time. You mentioned the big boys just standing down the forward line. Do you have any advice for Mitch McGovern, David?
I think he's just got to go and start attacking the ball. He just needs to see the ball and go at it hard. Whether he marks it or not is irrelevant. And sometimes, you know, in your football career, you've got to be a bit selfish. And I say that in the right way. But if you're out of form, you've got to get yourself in form. And the only way to do that is getting to where the ball is. And he just doesn't seem to be in the spots. You know, quite often we're kicking the ball into our forward line. There's no tools down there, and you're just wondering why. You know, Casbolt, Mitch McGovern, and Harry Mackay. Harry gets up the field a bit at times. He gets up around the wing and that. And you know, yeah, but if we are going into the forward line, we should have a tool there inside 50 every single time. I don't think there's any excuse why we shouldn't have one.
No. I we're just talking about it before the show too, and we talk about it a lot. It's that sometimes our last kick inside that 50 really hurts us, and I'd hate to bring it up, but Cripper did one where if he had kicked it over the top. I can't remember who it was.
It was Cottrell and
someone else. If he had kicked it over the top, he could have run onto it, but he's kicked it straight to the guy, and he's double fisted it. And
I think our ball movement into our forward 50 has been pretty ordinary for quite a number of weeks now.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because when you really think about it, you get our kick should be to one of our tools and our, you know, our smaller players hitting the front of the pack. I mean, it's just common sense. That's forward craft. 101, I suppose you might call it. You know, if they don't mark it, it comes down the front, and we've got the crummers there to crumb. So there doesn't seem to be a great system going into our forward line at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting cut off time and time again. And it has happened over a number of weeks too. You know, and the good teams who position a, you know, like a Jeremy McGovern type back there, you know, Tom Stewart's another one who's terrific at it for Geelong.
Actually, it's cut off, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, and if you haven't got a system to beat that, they're just going to pick it off every time.
Yeah, it's just sometimes our get out kick into the forward line, we seem to kick it to a small.
Yep.
I'd rather bomb it long to the square, to where the talls are and have the crummers, than kick it out to a forward pocket to a small.
But a lot of times we seem to bomb it into that. We do, you know, that long kick in, and we don't seem to have our tools there. And you sort of think, where are they? Jack Martin's flying up for it, or you know, one of our smaller players. So you wonder where that system is. And Mitch McGovern, he seems to be the one consistently not there. You know, he's just got to get there and contest every time.
Yep.
Just one last quick question. Do you think Eddie Betts will get a game tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he will. I think it's, it's against his old club, and I think they would have, they would have penciled him into that. So I'd be pretty sure. I mean, whoever goes out is going to be pretty stiff, though. That's the other side of the coin. But, I think he'll play. There'd be a lot of emotion there, I suppose. Kipo having his last game, and he was, you know, great Carlton stalwart sort of thing for a long period of time, and carried the weight of that number one draft pick on his shoulders for a long time too. So, it's going to be a great game of football, but hopefully we can do what we've been doing and get over the line. I just want to mention our back line too. I reckon our back line has just been absolutely fantastic. And if Wittering isn't in the All-Australian team,
it's rigged.
We riot.
Exactly. You know, he's just been absolutely fantastic all year.
Yeah, no, they've certainly been awesome, the back six.
Well, unfortunately, we have to wrap it up there, but thank you so much again for all your precious time and for giving your opinions on the Blues.
No worries, and as we always say, go the mighty
Blues. The mighty Blues.
Go Blues. Go Blues.
Thanks, David.
See Thanks,
you,
guys.
See you, mate. Bye. He's a legend, isn't he? Oh, I love Reece. Just says it how it is.
Honest.
Yep.
Great.
Down
now,
the line.
Quickly, we've got Jesse's weekly whack.
Yep. So I had to actually do it. I couldn't find anything this week, really. There was so much love about with Cruz and Gibber retiring and everything. But I watched the replay of our game against the Swans this morning to find some dirt. And I found some after the siren, a bit of push and shove from Jake Lloyd towards Nunesy. Nunesy may have instigated it a little bit. Maybe said, do you want a framed picture of me kicking one after the siren? I'm not too sure. But there was a bit of a push and shove, and Jake Lloyd was dishing out some vocab to him. So all I say to him is shake Nunes' hand, walk off, and tell your story, walking pal.
Yep. Good boy.
And quickly, let's go through our round 17 games and give our predictions.
Okay, we got the Roos versus Dockers at Metricon Stadium.
Roos.
Oh, Dockers for me.
The Power versus the Bombers at Adelaide Oval this afternoon.
Power.
Giants versus Demons at the Gabba.
Whichever one's better for us.
Yeah, Giants. Giants. Blues versus Crows. Metricon. Blues.
Crows.
Paris, we're going to have to really have a chat because you're a Blues show.
I think
you
it's
don't
some
pick.
Reverse psychology.
Nah, they're going to beat us. They're going to beat us.
We'll have to terminate our contract soon, I think. Hawks versus Bulldogs at the Adelaide Oval tomorrow.
Hawks.
Bulldogs.
But it's better for us if Hawks win.
Okay, but I can't see it happening. They're gone, the Hawks. The Swans versus Lions at Kazali Stadium tomorrow.
Lions by 100 points.
Give a Lions, shout out to my Lions, best mate Garbo. He's a Lions supporter.
Yeah, and we got the Pies versus the Suns at the Gabba on Monday.
Go the Suns.
I want the Suns to win, but Treloar and Dugowie are apparently
they're back.
I can never say those words go the other team, so going the Suns.
Some that Eddie McGuire says is quite
funny. Don't like them.
Well, unfortunately, that's all we have for the hour. So thank you for another great show, guys. And thank you so much to our great mate, David Rees-Jones, and our special guest, Greg Williams. So keep listening to 91.3 Sports FM. And as always, go the Blues.
Go the Blues.
Go the Baggers.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous